the main thing is God's will. All agendas have to be put aside, and God's will is the only thing. Last week we began the last part of this series that we began in December of 2018. We're going to speed up so that we can get it in, so we won't be going into as much detail. But we read last week verses 14 through 17, which is really introductory to verses 18 through 32, but we're viewing it as the conclusion. What it is, it's God's remedy for verses 18 through 32. So in verse 14, Paul says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's what God uses. No one is saved apart from the gospel. That's the tool that God uses. To everyone that believeth, you have to believe in order to be saved. That also is in the hands of God, of course. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, I believe, the gospel is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And as faith grows, as it is written, the just or justified shall live by faith. Again, this is God's remedy for verses 18 through 32. Is the gospel going to stop verses 18 through 32 on a society level? No, because verses 18 through 32 is God's plan. It's the way things are going to go. The gospel's not going to stop that. But individually, the gospel will bring individuals out of that, just as he has brought you and I out of that. So to individuals stuck in verses 18 through 32, the gospel is the remedy. So we saw last week that, of course, the gospel is good news. It's information of good tidings. It is always used when it's referring to the true gospel, the definitive adjective, the. It's never a gospel when it's speaking of the true gospel. It's always the gospel. It is definite. It is distinct. It is particular. It is exclusive. The gospel. We see it is, we saw last week that it's referred to as the gospel of God. It's news from God, it's news about God. It is the gospel of His Son. There is no gospel apart from Jesus Christ, none. It is the gospel of peace. That is, it's tells of the way to have peace with God. It's referred to as the gospel of your salvation. It is good news. It is information about salvation. It's called the hope of the gospel. That's where it's news about hope. It's what gives man hope. Again, what gives individuals hope that are stuck in verses 18 through 32 is not who gets elected to be the next president. That's not what gives hope. The hope is found in the gospel. It's referred to as the truth of the gospel. The gospel is truth. And it's referred to as the glorious gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, we looked at this last week, but we're just kind of reviewing real quick right now. Galatians It is not the invention of man. It does not have its basis in man. Nor is it dependent upon human reasoning or human ideas. It did not originate with even the religious world. It is the message of God. It is not after man. Now, there's a lot of things being preached today in the name of the gospel. But it's not the gospel at all. It's what Paul calls another gospel. You have the social gospel. You have the prosperity gospel. And on it goes. There are people who deny Jesus Christ and claim they're preaching the gospel. You can't preach the gospel if you take out Jesus Christ, because he's the subject of the gospel. So, the gospel is the remedy. The gospel is a message to all people, for all people. In Romans 1, verse 16, in reference to the gospel, notice he mentions Jew and Greek, or Jew and Gentile. Now, those are nationalities. Jew and Gentile. That's the simplification of nationalities. But he's talking about nationalities there. The gospel is for all nationalities. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what language a person speaks. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. The gospel is a message for all nationalities. We see also in verse 14, he talks about the Greeks, the barbarians, the wise, and the unwise. He mentions the Greeks, and then he breaks that down to the barbarians, the wise, and the unwise. These are classes of people. So we have all nationalities. And now he breaks it down to the classes of people. All in Rome, whether they were Jew or Gentile, if they were educated, they spoke Greek. If they did not have a formal education, they were considered amongst the barbarians. So you have the Greeks and the barbarians, classes of people. And then you can further break that down to the wise and the unwise. So the gospel is a message for all nationalities. It is a message for all classes of people. All classes of people, whether they be rich, poor, educated, uneducated, doesn't matter. They all need the gospel. And God be merciful to us if we withhold the gospel because of nationality or class. It's a message for all. And it's the remedy for all people. Now, all through the New Testament, and we're going to look at some of these, but all through the New Testament, we see men going to various places. And as they do, they go amongst a variety of people, and people in a variety of circumstances. and they go and they preach the gospel. So the gospel is for all nationalities. The gospel is for all classes of people. The gospel is for all places. And therefore, the gospel is for all times. It doesn't matter. We don't have to make adjustments in the gospel to fit the times. That's what a lot of people are doing. And when you do that, you adulterate the gospel, and before long, you're not even preaching the gospel. The gospel does not have to be updated. As it is, it's for all nationalities, all classes of people, all places, at all times. This is God's remedy for verses 18 through 32. We read in Matthew 4, if we turn over there, Matthew chapter 4. Verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. Went into all of Galilee. And what we want to notice is preaching the gospel. It didn't matter what section of Galilee he went to. They all needed to hear the gospel. And so it is today. It doesn't matter what area of town you go to. It doesn't matter what area of the country you go to. It doesn't matter what area of the world you go to. They all need the gospel. And that's the remedy, whatever area you may be in. In Matthew chapter 9, Matthew 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now, are all those cities and villages identical? Of course not. Made up of different peoples, made up of different cultures. And what did he do? Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel. Again, there's more to that verse, but we're just concentrating on going to various places, various people, doing the same thing, preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. If a missionary goes to, well, we'll use Australia. Brother James in Australia. It's not the responsibility of Brother James, nor is he called to make the Australians, Americans. That's not what a missionary does. He has preached the gospel to those people. And that's true of any. It's not the missionary's responsibility to Americanize them. If I go down to Cunningham, Kentucky, it was not my responsibility to make those people city people. That's not my responsibility. That's not why I was there. And so it's not that wherever we go, it's not to preach our culture and our way of life. It's to declare the gospel. And because that's the remedy. That's the remedy. Matthew 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. So once again, the gospel is the remedy for all people. In Matthew 26, verse 13, wheresoever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world. Again, the gospel is to be preached everywhere. Whatever language it needs to be declared in, whatever language it needs to be printed in, that's what people need. And there are people who, of course, translate the Bible from English to whatever language you want to choose, and that's good, because people need to read it in their language. And the reason people do that, the reason they go through the trouble of translating is because that's what people need, is the gospel. That's what they need. In Mark 13, verse 10, this talks about what we just said, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. Among all nations. It's a good work to translate the Bible from one language to another so that people can hear it in their own language and read it in their own language. And again, the reason it's necessary is it's the remedy. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where they come from. Doesn't matter how they've been brought up. Doesn't matter what their culture is. Doesn't matter the color of their skin. It doesn't matter the language they speak. Preach the gospel to every creature. Why? That's what they need. That's what they need. That's what people living in verses 18 through 32 need. That's what they need to hear, is the gospel. There's no, it's easy to get sidetracked. I do it all the time. It's easy to get sidetracked and argue with people about politics. But that's not what they need. That's not what they need. Even if you convince them of your view, your political view, it's still not what they need. It won't save their soul. They need the gospel. And the devil is very good at sidetracking us and getting us into other things rather than what people really need, which is the gospel. So again, all the world, to every creature. We, of course, as individuals or as a church, we can't go into all the world. It's not even possible. And as I've stated many times, the best way to go into all the world is for each and every individual to declare the gospel in their little world. And if everybody would do that, I mean, a visitation program is not going to accomplish what if every individual witness to everybody in their family, everybody they work with, what that would accomplish as far as spreading the gospel. Acts 8, verse 25, and I believe there's biblical principle is established throughout the Word of God. In Acts 8:25, they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. The Samaritans were, for lack of a better word, half-breeds, Jewish Samaria. They were hated, absolutely despised by the Jewish people. But we see these saved individuals went into many villages of the Samaritans and preached the gospel. Acts 14:7. Acts chapter 14, verse 7. And perhaps the best book in the Bible to illustrate the preaching of the gospel is the book of Acts. But in Acts 14:7, and there, that is the cities of Lycaonia and that entire region, and there they preached the gospel. Acts 14:21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, that would be Derbe. So you see, they went from city to city. And as you go through from city to city, politics may be different in one city than another. Customs may be different from one city to another. Practice, all kinds of things may be different. Or they may be the same. Doesn't matter. What they need is the gospel. And that's why they would go from city to city. Whatever city they went to, they preached the gospel. In Acts 16, verse 10, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Assuredly, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them, the people of Macedonia. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, he said, I came to Troas too. That is, the reason I went there was to do something specific. I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel. And the door was opened unto me of the Lord. That is, to preach Christ's gospel. We don't have to open the doors. And it's not for us to shut the door. It's for us to go where the Lord tells us to go. And to go to who the Lord tells us to go and tell them about Christ. Tell them of the gospel. And the Lord opens and the Lord shuts doors. It's not the Lord's will for me to speak to every single person. But it is the Lord's will for me to speak to some. And we need to follow that leading. And perhaps it's not the Lord's will for me to speak to this person. But it's the Lord's will for someone else to speak to them. And again, that's just how the Lord works it. 2 Corinthians 10. In verse 16, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Paul is saying, I'm not limiting myself. I'm going to preach the gospel beyond you, beyond this area, beyond this people. Galatians 2, verse 2. Galatians 2, in verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. Speaking of those who were greatly respected in society, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So again, he preached privately to them that were of reputation. So from all of that, we see that the gospel is a message for all places. It's a message for all places. It is a message for all times. It is a message for all people, all nationalities of people, all classes of people. The gospel is God's remedy for verses 18 through 32. Now, God has a timetable. He's working everything out according to His timetable. Everything is heading toward the tribulation period for the world. For you and I, it's heading toward the coming of Christ. Amen. But in that tribulation period, there will be a one world government. There will be the reign of Antichrist. Everything is moving in that direction. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying the gospel is going to reverse that course. That's not going to happen because that's not God's will. God has the course. But for individuals stuck in verses 18-32, the way to get out of it is salvation. And what God uses in salvation is the gospel. So the gospel is, we can say, is the remedy. We are not saying that it is going to stop verses 18 through 32. There are those who believe that, you know, just about everyone's going to be saved before Christ comes. The Bible teaches just the opposite. That's nowhere in Scripture that makes people feel good, but it's just not so. And things will continue to deteriorate. Things will continue to fall apart in the world and society. But people caught in that mess, what do they need to hear? They need to hear the gospel. That's what they need to hear. Yes, we can get in a political discussion with them, but don't treat that as a replacement for the gospel, because it's not. That will not save them. It will not save them. It will not save their soul. It will not deliver them from the mess that they're in. And do not fall into the trap of thinking, well, if we elect so-and-so, whoever it is, then things will, you know, all the problems will go away. No, that's not going to happen. God has a course. Things are going to continue on their course according to God's timetable. And again, it's for you and I that are saved, it's all leading to the coming of Christ. For the world, it's all leading to the tribulation, period. But the gospel is the remedy. It is the remedy. It is the good news. It is a declaration, a proclamation, a report coming from heaven into a world of death and darkness. And Paul said, the gospel hath shined in our hearts. The gospel serves as a light. And we just pray that the Lord would take the gospel, use it to impart life, and the soul sees for the first time. That's the remedy. And God help us to always keep that in mind. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again.